I'm so excited this morning for the opportunity to speak in front of you. Some are more excited for me speaking than others. I'm sure my youth is looking at me going, not again. But I promise I'm going to keep this short. And all the youth laugh because a short message for Brad is usually a half hour to 45 minutes. I promise I'm not going to be that long because we have some extra things going on today. We got a very exciting thing coming. So, if you will, open your Bibles to 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. I want to let you know that you are not here by accident. You aren't here because you were invited. You are here because the Lord wants to speak to you today. And it doesn't really matter how long you've walked with the Lord. Doesn't really matter if you may not have a personal relationship with Christ. It may not matter, you know, that some of you have been walking with Jesus longer than I've been alive. I won't give my age. But 2 Timothy 4, the video that we watched at the beginning about doing something. This church has no secret about revival. We're interested in revival. We're interested in a great experience from God for this community. Amen? Amen. But it starts with you and me. And it starts with our daily walk with Christ. In 2 Timothy, Paul is talking to Timothy, somebody he loved so much and he mentored over the years. So if we go, 2 Timothy 4, 2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. With great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all your duties to your ministry. His charge, his orders for Timothy was to go out and preach the gospel. We see this also in Matthew when Jesus at the Great Commission is telling his disciples, go out and make more disciples. He didn't do that when they first met. When Jesus, he had to prepare them. He had to make a way for them. He had to show them what it's like to be a Christian. He didn't want them to get caught up in religion. He wanted them to have a relationship with Jesus. So his charge to the disciples, Jesus's, was to go out and make more disciples. But with that, is his disciples lived. They prayed. They ate. They communed with Jesus. That is what Jesus still wants us to do. Revival will happen when each of us are truly following Christ with all our hearts. When we take the time on our knees in prayer. When we take the time when no one's watching to read our Bible. To pray, to worship. That's when revival will truly start. Some of you might be looking at me going, what is he talking about? And no, we didn't have a big church fight over how we're witnessing and how we're ministering. That's not what it's about. This is a call to each and every Christian who is here. The call is to go preach the gospel, not some made-up fairy tale. Jesus was killed for saying that he is God. Paul was killed for proclaiming the name of Jesus. The disciples were killed. That doesn't sound very prosperous, does it? See, my citizenship isn't here. It's somewhere else. It's in heaven. It says, store not treasures here on earth, but store them in heaven. And how do we store them in heaven? By getting people saved. By being who we say we are. In my life, I deal with thousands of people a week in my line of work. I work retail. I see everybody in the town at least once a week, if not more. Partly because we're the only grocery store in town. But who I am at Kroger's needs to be who I am here on Sunday mornings. Who I am at Kroger's needs to be the same as I am at my house with my family. When does revival happen? When you are who you say you are and who you put out to be. So we're talking about preaching the gospel. He also says, be ready in season and out of season. Is there a football game today? Does anybody know? Oh, there is? Okay. Is it a big one? Okay. You talk to professional athletes. You talk to anybody. You talk to military. They don't go to boot camp and they don't do drills and they don't do all this stuff while they're not at war. They don't go through all that for no reason. They do that so they can stay on top of their game. They do that when the time has come to either play that game or to fight that war. They're ready. There's a lot of symbolism. Easy for me to say. About Christian soldiers. You know the old song, Onward Christian Soldiers Marching On to War. You still got to put the work in. Be prepared in season and out of season. Christians, that means you don't get a vacation from being a Christian. This just means maybe it's not time for you to be in a part of a ministry right now, but you still have to be faithful to Christ who's faithful to us. I don't have to tell you that if you walk outside of here, that the world is a mess. Or do I? Do I need to say that? Amen. All right. You know, when I walk outside and it feels like a spring day in the middle of February, there's some significant things happening. Amen. When you have drugs on every street corner across from churches that are getting shut down, we have a serious problem, don't we? Are we who we say we are? That's what I keep coming back to in my studies over the last month is looking at Paul's life. And Paul sold out to Jesus. He gave everything he had for the cross. It's where I want to be in my own life. I want to be sold out. I want to give everything I have to God. That was more for the Christians who are in the room. That's me to help you encourage, to help me to encourage you and to fight the good fight. That our ministries isn't necessarily in this building. Our ministry's outside these doors. It's great we come to church on Sunday. It's great that we come to church on Wednesday. It's great we come to all the activities. But who are you reaching for Christ? A lot of new faces this morning. We have friends. We have family. We have Josh's fan club. And we're so excited that all of you could be here. And if you want to know more about the Jesus I serve, it's real simple. It's real simple. It's not some make-believe fantasy thing that, well, I'll make myself feel better so I believe in Jesus and I believe in God. It's more than that. It's more than that. I can't plead to you enough how much God can do in your life if you allow Him. Let's turn to Romans. Romans 3:23. And this is our message this morning. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Who's all? All. Meaning you, meaning me, meaning people outside these doors, meaning the President of the United States, meaning everybody. So all have fallen short. Not by a show of hands, but how many feel like, man, you're just stuck? You're just in places that you feel like you're just treading water. You're not really getting anywhere in your life. You're not really feel like you're doing anything or accomplishing anything. And that goes for Christians too. We get in those states. For what's blocking you from getting to God? I think we have it. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If God seems far away, guess who moved? It wasn't God. It was us. By trying to handle our own business when it's not ours to handle. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus the Lord. So your sins equal death, is what it's saying. So that means we already established all have sinned. And we're all destined to die for those sins. But God did an awesome thing. He gave us a free gift, not wanting anything in return. And that is the gift of eternal life. John 3:16. I'm sure everybody has heard it. But the words are so true. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever, who's a whosoever? That whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. God did not send His Son to condemn the world, but through Him that we might be saved. Sorry, the preacher in me is getting out. For God so loved you. For God so loved Brad. For God so loved Josh. That He gave His only Son. If you have kids, can you think of that? Giving up one of your sons or your daughters? The love that Jesus has for you, that He would give up somebody He loved, that He helped create, so that you can spend eternity in heaven. It's amazing things. Life-changing things. What's going on? Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were sinners, Jesus died for us. He died for you before you could do anything to make it right. He died for you knowing that you were a sinner. In my notes, I wrote, God doesn't want you to get purdied up for Him. He doesn't want you to come to Him and says, well, I'll come to you when I get my act together. God reaches out to the brokenhearted. He reaches out to those who are in pain, through those who've went through things. He's a great comforter. He doesn't want you to get your life straightened out by yourself. He wants to be a part of it. He wants to do it. He wants to do the transformation in you. That only He can get the credit for it. But yet we were sinners. He died for us anyway. Some awesome things. Ephesians, verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as results of works, so that no one may boast. You know what that simply says? You can't save yourself. There is nothing you can do except for accepting Jesus as your Savior to get you to heaven. Doesn't matter how good of a person you are. It doesn't matter if you're a great humanitarian, that you're reaching out to people, that you're, you know, I feed the hungry. I give to the poor. I do all these things. I build houses for people who don't have houses. It doesn't matter on your destination to heaven. The only thing that matters is that you believe that Christ Jesus died for your sins and rose again. That's it. It's the only way. The last scripture I'll give you today Romans 10, verse 9. This is what it comes down to. This is where the rubber meets the road. See, you're not here by accident this morning, like I said. You're not here by accident. You weren't tricked into being here. Everybody has a free will who decided to come today. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. There should be no question in people's mind, how do you get to heaven after leaving today? It's real simple. You say, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. Otherwise, I'm destined to go to hell. And hell is a very real place. But I'm destined to go to hell without somebody stepping in for me. And that would be Jesus. I believe I would have missed an opportunity with a whole bunch of new faces if I didn't give the plan of salvation to you. This is no different than what I've taught your young people. This is the same message. And it can be for you. If you confess out of your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that you need Jesus, it's that simple. It's that simple. If you all will stand. I promise I'd keep it short. Maybe this morning, you've never heard of God before in your life. It can happen. Just because we're at church doesn't mean that people don't understand what Jesus did for them. Maybe you've walked with the Lord for a long time. And somewhere or another, you got off track a little bit. It's okay. The same blood that Jesus spilled is for you. And today, make this a marking point in your life. Make this a point in your life that you'll never forget, just as these kids are never going to forget when they got baptized. That today is for you. So you can go to heaven and spend eternity with Christ. You know, the old story, if we walk out of here and you got in a car accident, do you know where you're going? Man, I don't want any doubt in my mind. Because hell is a very real place. And if you want to debate that, I have a whole book up here. We can talk about it. But it's a very real place. And it's a very real destination for so many people out here. So if you've been walking with the Lord and you just feel like, man, I'm not connecting. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to give my life fully to God. That's what the church is. To help encourage people who get off track. So we can come together and encourage one another. So we can pray for you. So we can live life with you. It's that simple. Church isn't about rituals. Church isn't even about meeting on Sundays. Church is about a body of believers who get together to live life together so we can go out into the world and preach the gospel. It's that simple. Somewhere or another, we got off. We took the exit that said easy. And we took off. It says, if you love me, they will hate you. But I don't do this for you. I do this because God's telling me to. You know, when we sing songs, it's to an audience of one. We're singing to Almighty God. It doesn't matter how good we play guitar. It doesn't matter how well we sing. It doesn't matter how we play drums. It doesn't matter. Because the only one who we're trying to please is Christ and God. Maybe you're one of the faithful who've been walking with the Lord in steadfast and just is ready for revival to break out. Today's for you too. It's for everyone. Because the message of Christ is for everyone. No matter what stage in life you are. I ask that you all bow your heads this morning. Maybe you're thinking, you know what, Brad? I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. And I want that. I want it more in my life. I want Christ more in my life. Well, then I encourage you, with no one looking, that if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, to just slip your hand up. And we'll pray for you. I'll give you a couple of minutes. Then we'll go to the next step. Maybe you're like, man, I want God in my life. I want Him with all my heart. But I don't know what it is. I need more. I want more. I need more. And slip your hand up if you want more of Christ in your life. That's awesome. Awesome. I see your hands. God sees your hands. Don't do yourself the disjustice today of not following through on raising your hand. Commit. Get more. Ask for more. Ask to be filled. Maybe you're in the last group and you're with the faithful. And you've been praying earnestly for revival. Don't lose heart. Do the works of Christ. Brother Mick, do the works of Christ. We want you, Jesus. If you all will just raise your hands. Dear Lord, God Almighty, we just ask you to just come fill this place. Lord, our hands up is a sign of surrender, Lord, that we surrender unto you. That we cannot do it ourselves. That we want more of you in our lives. Lord, we just want to thank you. And we just want to praise you this morning in all you do. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.